But you shall receive what? Power. Power when the Holy Spirit, what? Has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me, where? In Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing is part of a series that is entitled Pentecost. The church was birthed on the day of Pentecost and empowered with the Spirit of God. The promise of Pentecost is a perpetual promise, one that is good for all believers today. I want to challenge you to seek the promise of the Father, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part one of the purpose of Pentecost.
This morning, we are starting a new series that's entitled Pentecost. And rather than doing a kind of like a Pentecost Sunday, I wanted to do a series that started on this day. And during the series, I want to address some questions concerning our movement. So during the series, I want to address some of those questions, but I also want to give everybody an opportunity to receive. Some of the questions that are going to come up are, what is the purpose of Pentecost? How do we participate in Pentecost? Why do Pentecostals believe in an experience that is distinct from salvation? Why do Pentecostals pray in the Spirit? There are going to be some of the questions we're going to touch on during this series. If you've not received the Holy Spirit in the manner we're going to speak of here, I just want to challenge you to receive from God. God's got a promise for you. He makes it plain in Scripture. And if you've not received, I pray that through this series, you're challenged and you receive. Sometimes we're not very good when it comes to these questions. What happens is sometimes folks get these questions, well, what is this all about? And what we do is this, and we're really good about this as Pentecostals. We press them to a place to experience the Holy Spirit. And I get that. I agree with that. And because once you've experienced the Holy Spirit, once you've experienced the promise of the Father, once you've experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it answers a lot of questions. However, the problem happens is when we have a practice of Pentecost that is a little bit outside of the box of what we see in God's Word. And what happens is those questions come back up and we never answer them. So I want to take some time through this series and answer some of those questions. Because as Pentecostals, we shouldn't be known as fruitcakes and Fruit Loops. We shouldn't be. I believe this, we have sound doctrine. We have Scripture on our side. It's not just an emotional experience. It's a spiritual experience. And it's something that is promised in the Word of God. And I believe it's promised to every believer. And we should seek after this promise. And we should experience this promise, not just once, but on a daily basis. So there are times that our practice of Pentecost comes into conflict with our purpose. And again, there's valid questions that arise, and sometimes we don't take time to answer those questions. I think we should do that. I think Sunday morning is a great place to do that. See, what happens is we try to pawn them off on a Wednesday night or on a Sunday night. Why not Sunday morning? Why not on a Sunday morning? So if you have your Bible, please turn to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to have a very lengthy introduction. If you don't have your Bible, we'll have the verses on the screen for you. I think when you're dealing with Pentecost, you need to look at the origins of Pentecost. And listen, the day of Pentecost, when it happened in the book of Acts, was not the first time it had occurred. I don't mean the experience, I mean the day. First, Pentecost is not a Hebrew word. It's not a Hebrew word, it's a Greek word. It comes from the Greek. Pentecost is a term that is used for a Hebrew feast, which is the Feast of Weeks. The Hebrews have, the Jews have seven feast days, religious festivals. Pentecost is one of them. It's also called the Feast of Weeks. You'll find it as the Feast of the Feast of Harvest as well in other places in Scripture. Second, the word Pentecost means the 50th day. It just simply means in the Greek, the 50th day. And the reason why we have two different terms, you have the Feast of Weeks and Pentecost, is because we forget this, the world at this time is under Roman dominion, but its influence is Greece. It's still a Greek culture in the Middle East, Mediterranean area. The Greek culture is still the influence. And the Jews are caught in a quandary because they want to remain separate from the world. Most of them do. The Jews that did not embrace Greek speaking and continued to function in their Hebrew language would be called Hebraic Jews. And then you have another group of Jews that embrace Greek culture. They're called Hellenized Jews. And you also have to remember this. The reason why you have two two titles, but the same thing happening. It's because by this time when the book of Acts is written, Luke is writing this, history has really changed. The world, the church world is more Gentile than it is Jewish at this time. And a majority of the world is Greek-speaking. So the term Pentecost, just remember that, and it's important. This is not just useless knowledge. Trust me, there's a purpose to this, because I believe when we understand the origins of Pentecost, we understand the purpose of Pentecost. Here's what happens. In Pentecostal churches, it's no longer about the promise. It's no longer about the purpose. It's about something completely different. It morphs into something, and we need to redefine Pentecost and what it's about. Third, under the Mosaic Law, all able-bodied Jews were required to pilgrimage to Jerusalem to attend one of these religious festivals. There were three, they were required. So if you were able to travel, and you were a Jew, and you were a devout Jew, you were expected to go to Jerusalem, and there are three out of the seven feasts that you were required to attend at Jerusalem. Are you following me? The Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, is one of them. Now, if you remember in the book of Acts, there were devout Jews from all nations. There was a reason for that. Why? Because they were obedient to the law. They were devout Jews. They were in Jerusalem at this time for Pentecost. Fourth, God instructed the Jews to start counting. Fourth, God instructed the Jews in the law, in the book of Leviticus, that there was the Passover, which happens, and then Passover is Sabbath. It happens on a Saturday. It ends, and in the law, he said, start the next day and then count 7 weeks. So the reason why you have the 50th day is because you have one day plus 49 days, or one day plus 7 weeks. Are you following me? That's why in the Greek, rather than calling it Shavuot, they would say Pentecost, because it's simply the 50th day. The reason they had the celebration was because it was a celebration, and this is important to know. Here, this is going to help you understand the purpose of Pentecost. The 50th day was to coincide with the wheat and barley harvest. They were in Jerusalem to celebrate the spring harvest. In Israel, they have two harvests, spring and fall. And so they would go to Jerusalem and they would celebrate God's goodness, God's blessing. When they were there, this festival was all about the harvest. And they were to give offerings and they were to give sacrifices and to give God praise and glory for his blessing upon their lives. Are you following me? Because that is key to understanding the purpose of Pentecost. Harvest is key to the understanding of the purpose of Pentecost. Each calendar year, three feasts would come onto the calendar. The Jews were required, or Jewish males were required to go to Jerusalem. Pentecost was one of them. And so when you read the book of Acts, and you find that, again, devout Jews from all nations, it makes sense why they're there. They're not there because, I mean, they're there because they're being obedient to the law. They're there. And listen, those are souls that are there. The city is full of people. They were there to celebrate natural Pentecost. But what happened is God had a fulfillment. There was something else going to take place. It was a spiritual Pentecost that was going to take place. They were there for a religious festival. God had set them up there to receive the Holy Spirit. I pray you get this in your spirit. The feast of the Old Testament, they are all types and shadows. Types and shadows. Things that were to come. If you read in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, I didn't forget about Acts chapter 1. Hebrews 8, 5, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on this mountain. Hebrews 10, 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. Types and shadows are all throughout the Old Testament. The Old Testament has its fulfillment with the New Testament. If you look for types and shadows throughout the Old Testament, you'll find figures. You'll find types of Christ. You'll find types of Messiah. If you look at Joseph, you'll see a type of Christ. If you look at Melchizedek, you'll find a type of Christ. If you look at Moses, you'll find a type of Christ. David, we can keep going on. Throughout the Word of God, there are these types and shadows. There are things to come. There's a foreshadowing of things to come. And that's what you have here with these feast days, which is fulfillment was on the day of Pentecost when the church was birthed. Seven Jewish feasts are no different. They are a type and a shadow of things to come. They have a spiritual fulfillment. And we see that here in the book of Acts. Pentecost was not a one-time event. Pentecost is perpetual. It's perpetual. Listen, if you're a Pentecostal, you should believe that. That's what makes you Pentecostal, by the way, because you believed in an experience and you believe that it was perpetual. There's some things we got to get into our spirit, because there are questions that arise when we're Pentecostal that people will ask you. Sometimes we just don't have the answers, and we should have the answers because they're clearly in the Word of God. I hope you're at Acts chapter 1, are you? Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for what? The promise of the Father. He's speaking to his disciples. And this is right before he ascends into heaven. He commands them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with what? The Holy Spirit, not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Verse 8, but you shall receive what? Power. Power when the Holy Spirit, what? Has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me, where? In Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave this verbal command. Remember, it was a command. Go back to Jerusalem, and you stay there, you wait there, until you receive the promise of the Father. And that was something then, listen, if it was a promise, it was something they have not yet received, correct? Hey, listen, this is not brain surgery. They haven't received yet. He's saying, wait till you do receive. Receive what? Till you're baptized in the Spirit. That's what he's saying. Jesus answers that question. What is the promise of the Father? He answers that in verse 5. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Jesus promised his disciples they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that's an event that had not taken place yet. It had not occurred. That's why they were there. That's why he said, go and wait until this happens. Look at Acts 1:3. We know, let's just kind of get a timeline here, because I think this is important. We know that Jesus has died on the cross. He was raised from the grave. So he's been resurrected. And we know from Scripture here in verse 3 that he's there with them 40 days. Verse number 3, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during what? 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. 40 days is just how many days shy of 50? 10. So guess how many days they spent seeking and obeying the command of the Lord? 10 days. So 10 days following his ascension, his disciples went to Jerusalem. They prayed, they waited, they sought for this promise, and then they experienced that promise on the day of Pentecost. And we know that because we look at Acts chapter 2, and we see where that occurrence takes place. And as a result, on a harvest celebration, on a harvest festival, the outcome of that day was what? 3,000 souls entered the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to ask you this question, and you don't need to answer it. Are you telling me that this event, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is by coincidence? Absolutely not. There has to be significance in it. God could have chose any day in the calendar that he wanted to pour out his Spirit. Why did he choose the Feast of Weeks? Why did he choose Pentecost? See, there's a spiritual fulfillment that takes place. That's why we need to understand the feast, its purpose. We don't need to get into all the offerings and all the different things, the rituals. We just need to understand this purpose. Why were they there celebrating the harvest?
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.